What we're talking about is late night, early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around the corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including western region of my mental health. And the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition. Yeah. There was no severe weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. It is the second day of March 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we've got a great program for you today. In this first segment, we're just going to do a little rehashing of things that we've been talking about over time and issues that I think are important for everybody to start learning about. And then on the second half of the show today, we have a professor that has been involved in exposing Zionism and criminal networks within the Jewish community for decades. His name is James Dickey. He is a lecturer, a writer, a researcher, and just an expert. One of the world's leading. And I had a private conversation with him today. It was astonishing. This man knows so much. But before we get to that, let's talk about a few other things here. You know, a lot of issues. Judy Andreas, I want to bring up right away, right at the top of the show here. She's on What Really Happened Now, talking about food fights and arguments within the Patriot community and why there's all that happening and why don't you like me, Daryl? Well, let me tell you why I don't like you, Judy. You got bad company. You hang out with the Manson family, you're a bad person. You hang out with the Rents couple group and you're a bad person. End of story. These people are involved in misinforming and lying to the Patriot community, sending people down the wrong road, aligning themselves with the wrong stuff, and the simple fact is, Judy Andreas, you're with these people, they're your friends, you promote them, you work with them, you write with them, you post with them, and you know what? You lay down with dogs, you get fleas. But it's not just that. You know, if it were an accident on your part, or I thought it was, it would be a different story. You're just part of the disinformation Jewish mafia going on in the United States. You're a Zionist, and that's a fact. Whether or not you say that you are, whether or not that you promote that you are, and whether or not that you say that, you know, you're a crypto-Zionist, and you have been from the beginning, and I'm going to tell you something right now. As long as you do these things that you've been doing, you are an enemy, my enemy. Make no mistake about it, my enemy. You hang out with Rents. You write about stuff that's not so. You promote people that are off their rocker. Like, geez, the list is long over there. But you're on the same page with Carl Schwartz. Go figure. Yeah. Anyway, but that being said, you know, she's getting press now on our favorite ex-friend at What Really Happened. The guy that's been promoting, vociferously promoting, Alex Jones. Yeah. Who'd have thunk it, guys? Mike Rivero and Alex Jones. One needs to wonder, you know, the Muranos, you know, when they got kicked out of Spain, when they started leaving Spain in the 1500s because of what Isabella and Ferdinand had done, many of them moved to the southwest of the United States as conquistadors, and they moved into the southwest regions, the Muranos. They have Hispanic names, but they are Jewish, crypto-Jewish. Do some research on these things. These are not my musings, again. This is all part of history. many of the people who listen to my show here or read Eric's commentaries, they think that, you know, we're making this stuff up out of thin air. Go back to your books. Now, most of the stuff we cite, some of it we don't. Why? Well, because we're two guys. We're trying to win a war here. But we do get stuff from our readers, and we do get stuff from people who do a lot of extra research, and we try to tell you where we found it. I get emails all the time, and I ship back to the people often where I discovered my information and what kind of things that I've been able to find. The David Irving story is a case in point. You know, there have been people who've seen him on speaking tours where about 20% of his audience were invitees from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yep. Now, this in itself would not be incriminating, but when you see the reversal of his views, the fact that he won't touch certain issues about 9/11, and all these other facts, what it leads us to believe, Eric and I, is that there are reasons for us to be leery of this person. We did not come straight out and say he's working for these people. What we did say is there are indications that we need to start asking other questions. And so we've begun that process. It was the same thing we did with John Kaminsky. And boy, did it bear out. We were exactly right on this guy. Exactly right. He's proven it. A week ago, comes out and says, all Jews this, all Jews that, in a written column. Look, we were right about him. We knew what we were talking about. We hit it right on the nail, right on the head. And, of course, we got savaged when we did it, as we have been for the Irving stance and many others. But if I were to find that David Irving, in fact, has been a stand-up guy on all these issues, and that's a possibility, I would do a mea culpa. Of course, you know, we need to see, a lot of people think we need to be, it's better for us to err on the side of not blaming somebody than blaming them. Well, I think it's opposite. I really do. I think this is a late hour, and we should have to vet everybody, including me. I mean, the fact is, am I saying stuff that you can bear out with your research? Am I, you know, the proof is in the pudding here. And don't go by what I've done in the past. What have I been doing right now in the last few months? Because the stuff that I did months and months ago, I didn't have any idea about all these facts. I mean, in the last 6 months, most of the things I know now started happening for me. It took about 6 months for me to come to a full understanding of what really was happening in the world. And it does take some time. And my earlier stances and some of my associations, including putting this imbecile Carl Schwartz on my radio show and thinking he was, you know, a pretty cool guy and everything, I mean, boy, was I wrong. I mean, and I've been wrong. But when it comes to the information we've been vetting right now and trying to get people to sign on to this, we don't have a lot of time. We just don't. These people are going ahead with their process, and we need to hook people up with all these facts. If we're ever going to have an opportunity later down the line to affect the kinds of changes that America desperately, desperately needs, we need to get this information to as many people in as many hands and as many archives and in as many hard copy forms as we can. And that requires a maximum effort. And it requires us to be hard sometimes. Now, if I got to make some apologies later, I'll make them. But as it stands right now, guys, you know, this is the way it's got to be. We have to fight like banshees to get these words out. Eric and I don't think there's much hope for America in the present state. I mean, if you think for a minute America is going to survive this upcoming round of messes, you're wrong. The question then becomes, what is America going to be after this? Who is going to take a leadership role when the place finally goes into the dirt? And it's not an if, it's a when, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as Eric's concerned. The question then becomes, who's going to be leading the debate and what facts are they going to be using to make their case? Well, we've put these facts out to be there when the case is being made for what happens next in the United States. And because we don't have a constitutional republic anymore. There's nothing there to save in its present form. What we desperately need is getting corporate America out, which means Jewish-controlled corporations and banking structures. And what we need to get out of this place is the corrupt PAC system, and we have to return to a constitutional republic where individuals are sacrosanct. They are not usurpable in their rights. In other words, if I want to, you know, sit in my home and do something that injures no other person, it's no one's business but my own. Those were the principles America was founded on. They're libertarian in their essence. And the fact is now we've got a nanny state. We've got somebody wiping your nose and cradle-to-grave stuff, and everybody talks about socialism in Europe. America is just as bad or worse because I think they're less well-educated than the Europeans, and I think they're in worse condition physically and emotionally. So, no, we have more work to do than the rest of Europe in this refit, this rejig that we need to do. But it's doable. If I didn't think it was doable, I'd quit. I would. If I didn't think I was leaving something for future generations to build on, I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't make these efforts. But I see that there are enough caring people out there. There are enough hardworking, well-informed, just good good quality stock human beings that are beginning to wrap themselves into this truth. And when it comes time to fight back, they're going to be there. I have the sense that America will rise again in its greatness, and it'll come on the heels of the information that we've been able to find. So make no mistake about it, I am fully committed to getting this information circulated as far and wide as possible. The other thing I wanted to mention is about the donations. Yes, I ask for them, but I'm only asking for small donations. $1, $5, $10, something like that. You can go to PayPal on the website and pay if you'd like on PayPal. You can just put a 39-cent stamp on an envelope, wrap a 10-spot in a piece of paper, and ship it out. Now, what do we do with the money? We pay my phone bills. We pay equipment costs. We're going to be raising up our gigabyte limit very soon because we're going to start putting other types of information, such as video downloads and other things. And we're already close to maximum on our usage. So once we go into another phase of information sharing, it's going to become another expense. Plus, I've been carrying the load for the last year myself. And having to do that, while it's been doable, it's been coming out of my family food money. Now, it's a heck of a lot easier to ask you to spend $1 to $5 or something to help me keep this thing going, and Eric to keep this thing going, than it is for me to put the whole amount up myself. And that's why we've done this. This is a grassroots movement. Grassroots. It is people like you, like me, like Eric Hufschmidt, like the man coming on today. We're this is not my profession. It was never my profession to be doing these broadcasts. And yet I find myself here by need, by determination, by desire to see change. And this is the kind of grassroots change that the country really needs. And participating in it is really an act of faith in the American system. And not the one we've got now, ladies and gentlemen, the one that was designed for us 250 years ago. That's what needs to be resurrected. Not a country with so many laws that you have to walk through a library just to see how many regulations there are on people's backs, but a place where personal responsibility and common sense and individual liberty and the rule of constitutional republic's law, not the law of democracy, which is an abomination. So I want to clear those things up because, you know, this is not a slick-run operation here. It's anything but that. It's a computer, a couple of telephones, and a lot of contacts and a lot of hard work. That's basically what it is. And much of my work and my information has been coming from you. And I need to thank you for that. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to have my guest, James Dickey, professor, lecturer, and writer, and research historian. And it's going to be really, really fantastic stuff. So tune in right after this.
Scotch and soda. But in your baby, do I feel high? Oh, me, oh, my. Spell you got me.